We have it up here, the spirit world is what we've been going through, based off of our study of 1 Peter. I know that this is a lot of this is repetitive, but me and Hogan was talking about this coming down the road, that repetition is a biblical principle. That's why you have things in the Bible that's mentioned many times over, because repetition is a quality that God uses to instill things within us. So 1 Peter 1:2, you know the verse. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. The terms we've looked at is transformation, conformity. We looked at observation, judgment. All of those things are connected into that one phrase of being elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Listen to this. God chose you based off of his knowledge beforehand of what decisions and choices you would make. So God already knows, because he's God and he knows everything and he's not stuck in the parameters of time, he knows your life from beginning to end. He already knows your end before you get there. And based on that foreknowledge, you are in a transformation process, or a metamorphosis is occurring in your life. You're not what you're going to be. You're just going through the process of becoming, get this, what God already sees you to be.
Yeah.
Do you hear that? God sees the final product of you before the final product of you is realized by you. If you don't understand that, it will create a paradigm in your relationship with God that will be extremely unhealthy. All right? The prophet Habakkuk in the Old Testament said this: God is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. You should have shouted. God cannot look upon your sin. So his son Jesus came, died in your place, paying the penalty for sin, covers you in the blood of Jesus Christ, and now the Father in heaven sees you as covered in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Okay? Now, that's an amazing, though fundamental, but an amazing truth. This process of transformation that is occurring, we know as the sanctification of the Spirit, which is the next line in that verse. So we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God through sanctification of the Spirit. Now, through this study, we've talked about a whole lot of different things, and some things we've talked about have been matters of controversy, but I'm going to go through just a few things up here so that we can get kind of on an even keel, the same page. There is evidence that we are living in a spirit reality more than a natural reality. How many of you would understand what I'm saying? There is a massive amount of evidence that you're living right now more in a spirit reality than we are in a natural reality. Though, it seems as though we are responding more to a natural than we are to the spiritual. How many of you remember the diagram on our being, who we are? Please kind of familiarize yourself with it. And the thing that I want you to see about this diagram here is the various portals that is opened into who you are. Okay, so you have the government of the flesh. We know this is the senses. The things we see comes into the essence of who we are and begins to affect our soul. Because the portals into the soul is the imagination, the conscience, the memory, reason, and affection. So the things that we see through the eye gate, nose gate, ear gate, mouth gate, feel gate, or the touches, the senses, begins to affect our soul. These are open portals into the essence of who we are. But watch, the scripture that Lori was referring to in Ephesians 2, in verse 1 of that passage, it says that we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's the spirit world. That's how we walked. So even those who don't know Christ are being affected by the reality of a spirit world more than a natural world, though they don't know it. Are y'all with me so far? And so into this, when we were in that condition, our spirit man was affecting the soul man by the prince of the power of the air. By the standards in the course of this world, that's what was infiltrating your soul, and that helps to feed the senses of the flesh nature, and then the soul becomes the target. Now these evidences that we've seen that we're living more in a spirit reality than a natural reality, there's more to this, but I'm just going to give you a few. Last day prophecies are living realities before our natural eyes. Now, we don't have time to develop that statement all the way out, but this is an evidence that we're living more in a spirit world than we are in a natural world. There's scriptures to compare with that. Matthew 24, Acts 2:17, 2 Timothy 3, 1-5, James 5:5, 2 Peter 3:3. There's other scriptures there that backs up this statement. It says, last day prophecies are living realities right now before our natural eyes. That is an evidence that we are living more in a spirit world now than a natural world. Let me put something else up. Look, to attempt to bring natural explanations to supernatural events, that is an evidence that we're living more in a spirit world than we are in a natural world. Now, this statement is very important to me. I want you to listen to it again. We have the attempt to bring natural explanations to supernatural events. I find this troubles most Christians even somewhat more than unbelievers. You see, an unbeliever, can I tell you how a lost man acts? He acts lost. We seem to be surprised that the world is living the way they are. Did you know the world is living exactly the way they are designed and to the capacity that they can live? Only when you enter into the transformation or metamorphosis process of salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit are we then opened up to the Holy Spirit. Until that time, you will constantly look for natural explanations to supernatural events. I've watched it in church where people will say, God will perform a miracle. How many believe God still does a miracle? In other words, God will heal somebody. My brother's sitting here today alive because God touched his body.
Yes.
He had cancer. He was supposed to die. God touched his body. God healed him.
Amen.
And he's alive today because of the supernatural power of God. However, we will, as children of God even, begin to define his essence as a natural explanation. Oh, it wasn't God that did it. It was medicine that did it. Well, I'm going to tell you, the medicine he took like to kill him. Okay? Ed's here today, and he's alive today because of the supernatural intervention of God. Listen to me. In this hour we're living in, people are looking for natural explanations for supernatural events, and here's why that I bring this up. We are now into a time where people are running out of natural explanations.
Yes,
you're right.
That's true.
We can't even explain the demonic realm that we're seeing anymore. It doesn't even fit to say, well, we're just evil. Because that don't define it. There are supernatural explanations that's recorded in the Word of God, but we need to understand that we're living in this paradigm where we attempt to bring natural explanations to supernatural events. Now let me hurry along, listen to this. Here's another evidence we're living in a spirit reality more than a natural reality. Even the world continues to fulfill the writings of the Bible while denying that it's true. That is an evidence that we're living in a spirit reality more than a natural reality. 2 Corinthians 4:4 that we didn't get to the other week, and I wanted to. We didn't get to that passage, but that is the passage that defines this statement. Listen to it again. Even the world continues to fulfill the writings of the Bible while they deny themselves that the Bible is true. Can I tell you there is only a supernatural explanation to that? They don't even know why they're doing it. Now, I can take you back into the book of Ezekiel where we know the passage where God said, I'll put hooks in their jaws and draw them down. Okay? In other words, the sovereignty of God and the plan of God will be fulfilled, like it or not. Let me give you just one thing that's going to happen, whether you're ready, whether you're not ready, or whether you like it or whether you don't like it. Here's what God's Word said. His kingdom will subdue all other kingdoms.
Amen.
There will not be a kingdom on this world that will survive the kingdom of God.
Amen.
His kingdom will ultimately subdue all kingdoms. So the world's going along with the plan of God, even though they don't know it. Listen to this. Did you know that Satan himself, can only do what God permits him to do? And there are certain things that God has said is going to happen to Satan, and Satan can't get out of it. In other words, he will be cast into hell one day. Did you know that? And so this is evidence of the fact that we're living in a spirit reality more than in a natural reality. Here's another evidence. The spirit of the Antichrist is clearly seen in our society today. This is based off of 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. Here again is what the Bible says. Listen closely. If you deny that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, you are of the spirit of the Antichrist. In other words, a denial that Jesus is the Son of God is of the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, you've had this teaching, and I'm just quickly going to remind you of it. Did you know that the Bible says, and this is an important fact, did you know the Bible says that no man knows the day or the hour of the Lord's return? How many of you know that that's in the Bible? Did you know that Satan himself does not know the day nor the hour of the Lord's return? Did you also know that Satan merely heard about the return of Christ when the announcement was made by Gabriel on the earth? In Acts chapter 1, when Jesus ascended, there was an angel that came down and said, "Ye men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus that you see go up is going to come back." That is the first time Satan heard about the return of Christ. Are you with me so far?
Yeah.
Now we know that after the Lord Jesus returns, then the person of the Antichrist will take material form and reunite with the spirit of the Antichrist that's already at work. Satan always imitates what he sees God doing. The Holy Spirit came in Acts 2, so did the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, the important thing about the person of the Antichrist is he will then take material form. We'll get to that in just a minute, but it's something that I wanted to point out to you. Here's another evidence that we're living in a spirit reality more than a natural reality. The function of who we are with the portals of spirit, soul, and body is an evidence that we're living more in a spirit reality than a natural reality. This is based off of 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And that, over here, the threefold nature of man is the diagram for this statement. The function of who we are with the portals of spirit. Now, this is something that came alive in me based off of this teaching. Me and Haley had a call this past week. We had to go minister to somebody who's a friend of ours. And they called and they were in a lot of trouble and a lot of fear. And a lot of tragedy, actually. They were experiencing a lot of tragedy. So we went, we prayed, we talked with this lady. And I began to think about something that Joe Barrett shared with me. I'm pretty sure it was last week. He may share it with y'all another time. But he had had a dream last week of your mom and your dad. You dreamed your mom was a little younger. Your dad was younger, and I think your dad was in a soldier's outfit because he was a soldier one time.
Yeah.
Had long hair, long white hair, and in the dream, Joe Barrett saw tractor and trailers leaving out. They were being blown up. They were full of food, if I understand. Now, a couple weeks prior to that, I had a dream about my dad, and I think I shared that I had a dream, but I didn't share with you the details, and I still can't. I'm processing that what that was like. Also run into a guy this past week that had a dream, and he was talking about this dream. I went back to Acts 2:17, which was a verse that we put up for you earlier, and in that verse it said that in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Apparently we're old.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There's an open portal where God, I believe, and I'm believing this, and I'm asking that there would be understanding and faith built in this moment in all of us to understand what I'm about to say. But I will tell you that we're living in a time now where there is more going on in the spirit world than I believe any time in my lifetime.
Yeah.
I'm telling you the truth. For such a time as this, God designed you to live in this moment. It is not an accident that you're here. It is not an accident that you live right now. As a matter of fact, can I tell you this? You were destined before the foundation of the world to live in the most dangerous times in the history of the world. Did you know that? Paul says in the last days, perilous or dangerous times will come. This did not take God by surprise. God is not up in heaven shaking his head and scratching his head thinking, what in the world am I going to do with them people down there? He's God. He has a plan. And for such a time as this, you were destined to live here. What I want you to understand, and you need to understand this if you're going to have any amount of spiritual victory, this diagram of who you are is really what's happening in this moment spiritually. I'm talking to believers especially now, but hear what I'm saying to you, that you will either bow to the government of flesh, soul, or spirit. But you will bow to those governments, and whether you like it or whether you don't, the spirit world is affecting your body and affecting your soul. These dreams that we had are significant. I gotta hurry on, and I'll get back to that in just a minute. I want to talk about the population of the heavenlies just a second, because we've been talking in this realm about the spirit world. Lori read the verse of Scripture. It is a living reality. If we understand the reality of the spirit world, then we have to understand this reality. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. And the Apostle Paul writes in the book of Ephesians, we have been raised up together to sit with Him in heavenly places. Did you know that's a present tense statement? Indicating that right now, you are in Christ in the heavenlies. Though your body is here, your spirit man is in the heavenlies soaring with Christ.
Amen.
Say amen, hurry.
Amen.
Okay, now watch this, listen. If your spirit man is soaring with Christ, but your body is here, you know what that means? It means that here is not nearly as real as there.
Amen.
This is merely a virtual reality. I've heard this over and over again. I don't have full understanding of this, but did you know that even science has figured out that there's probably about 10 dimensions, 4 of which are knowable, 6 are unknowable. But they are real. And even by science, they have determined that this is more a virtual reality, that there is a bigger reality. Watch, we've known that ever since we had the Word of God.
Amen.
Everybody say amen to that. So the population of where you really are becomes extremely significant. Here's something that we know. Satan is called the prince of the power of the air in Ephesians 2:2. He's the prince of the power of the air. So guess what? Welcome to heavenly places.
Yeah.
This is where it gets real.
Yes.
Okay? Satan is not bound up in hell right now. He's the prince of the power of the air in the second heavens. Where is Satan at? Well, according to the book of Job, which by the way is the oldest book in the Bible, and can I tell you that in the book of Job, when God asked the question to Satan, what have you been doing? He said, I've been walking to and fro through the earth. Peter describes it this way, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion. Welcome to heavenly places, by the way. Satan, the prince of the power of the air, is populating the heavenlies. Here's something else we know based off of Ephesians 6:12. We talked a little bit about Daniel 10 before. Principalities and demonic beings populate the heavenlies. I'd like to say more about that, but we'll go on. Here's the population of heaven. Christ Jesus is there. You didn't say amen loud enough to that. I'm telling you where you really are. I'm telling you what all else is there around you. See, watch. This might be something of interest to you. I don't know. This may be wisdom. You test it. But if we're in an area where Satan, the prince of the power of the air, is, it might be wise if you hide yourself in Jesus. That might be wisdom, right? So Christ Jesus is there according to Ephesians 1:20. So let's go on, look here. Those who are in Christ are there, and that's you and I. Now I want to talk about the invasions of the spirit world into the natural world, and I'm going to go quick. These are some things that we've already talked about. We have biblical account narrative. This is not an exhaustive list, but it just shows you merely that the supernatural can break through into the natural. There have been biblical record of invasions of the spirit world into the natural world. We have it from the fall of Lucifer. Isaiah 14 describes that. If you want to read some things about Ezekiel 28, will give you a lot of information about Lucifer. Isaiah 14 records his fall and what caused the fall. Then we talked about in Genesis 6 the fallen angels. Now that's a very controversial passage of Scripture, but it's significant. We're talking about invasions of the spirit world into the natural world. Everybody say I'm listening. Yes. Wave up here at me right quick. Genesis 6, real quick. The sons of God comes down to the daughters of men and they have children. Okay? Now, what is that? It is angels who actually materialize. Some would say, well, the sons of God is from the line of Seth. The daughters of men is from the line of Cain. That is a popular interpretation, but however, it's not biblically accurate. It can't be. Now, that would indicate that all of the line of Seth would be godly. It would also indicate that all of the line of Cain would be ungodly. Neither one is basically true. Okay? Sons of God, if you do your research and your study, are actually fallen angels that take material form. They see the daughters of men. They procreate. And the Bible said their offspring, some call them the Nephilim, their offspring are giants, men of renown. It's interesting if you study Genesis 6, no offspring is talked about as far as women, but just men. And then it also says this, this happened before the flood and afterward. Well, we have record of that. The tribe of Anakim, the Canaanites, if you will, when they went to spy out the land, they come back, brought a report, said, we can't take that land. There's giants over there. Then there was this guy named Goliath. How many of you remember him?
Yeah.
Over 9 foot tall. He was part of that Nephilim offspring. If you want to know the real reason behind the flood, it was to destroy the offspring of the sons of God and the daughters of men. After this happened, the verse says, and God looked upon the imaginations of the heart. Look at that. The imaginations, the portal into the soul. God looked at the imaginations of their heart and said their thoughts are on evil continually. Therefore, it repented God that He had made man. It was to wipe out the offspring. Fast forward into the times of Judges and Kings where God would say, I want you to go in and utterly destroy them. Don't leave nothing. Why? It was because of the offspring. The interesting thing about this is, Jesus says, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the coming of the Son of Man. Now, what does that mean exactly? Is it possible that angels can materialize? Well, we have all kinds of information about it. We talked a little bit about it. How many of you remember the two angels that came down and ate supper with Abraham? They actually ate the meal. How many of you remember the two angels that took Lot out of Sodom? Y'all believe the Bible's true? You believe it's real? I mean, you don't believe it's just some kind of storybook, do you? Surely you believe it's true. All right, two angels comes down to take Lot out of Sodom, and what happened? The entire homosexual community got aroused and wanted these men, these angels. They had material form. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
It is an invasion of the spirit world into the natural world, fallen angels of Genesis 6. The angel Gabriel in Luke 1, 19 through 27, that's an invasion of the spirit world into the natural world, where an angel brings an announcement. This is not exhaustive, but there's many angels that fight on behalf of God's people all throughout the Word of God. As a matter of fact, one angel destroyed 185,000 of the Assyrian army at one time. This is an invasion of the spirit world into the natural world. The two angels sent to deliver Lot that we talked about. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you would say that's an invasion of the spirit world into the natural?
Yeah.
Think that's true? The coming of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2. You think that's an invasion of the spirit world into the natural? Now, how many of you believe, just by this list, that we could make a statement that it is entirely possible for the spirit world to invade the natural world? How many of you believe it? How many of you believe it's ever happened before? How many of you believe it can happen now? How many of you would rather have an invasion of the Holy Spirit as to have an invasion of fallen angels? Chained in darkness. Bound up in the dark. What is that? Boy, I wish we had time to do all this, but what's it? The fallen angels of Genesis 6 is talked about in the book of Jude, where it said they're chained in darkness. You know what that literally means? It means that only the portals of the flesh, only the portals of the soul is open. There is no portal of the Holy Spirit within them to be released throughout the essence of who they are. That is the kind of invasion of the spirit world we're facing. But what you and I need on this very morning is an invasion of the Holy Spirit of God to come down and invade this natural place right now. That's what we need. That's what we need. We have to have that. We have to have that. I want to talk to you now about another controversial matter. And this is where I wanted to get to. And I want you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 12. And this is kind of in keeping with what we're talking about the spirit world. Okay? Now, I go back to Joe Barrett's dream. I go back to the dream I had of my dad. And it was odd to me when Joe pointed out to me last week, he said, I dreamed about my mom, she was younger. I dreamed about my dad, he was younger. I dreamed about my dad, and he was younger. It was noticeable.
Yeah.
He was younger. And that intrigued me a little bit. Now, I'm going to read to you a verse of Scripture here, and I want you to listen closely. We're not going to be able to kind of go into vivid detail about this, but maybe it'll give us a starting point to talk to you about something. I want to read to you Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, pause there for just a minute. If you go back to Hebrews 11, there is a popular interpretation of this scripture that where it's only talking about those that are found in the hall of faith of Hebrews 11, where by faith Noah did this, where by faith Abraham did this, where by faith Rahab did this, all of this. Now, listen to me. There is absolutely no biblical narrative that would support the fact that only a select few are the cloud of witnesses. The greater principle here is all of those that have gone on before us make up this heavenly host of a cloud of witnesses And here the scripture says, we are compassed about with them. This is the spirit world invading the natural world. Here's the conclusion that I'll bring to you about it. Can I tell you that I believe with all my heart that my dad, my mom, my granddaddy, my grandmother, they still are all around us. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? Do you think that now they can see more of what we're really like? Or less than what we're really like? And what is the purpose behind this great cloud of witnesses? These witnesses, are they limited? Are these witnesses limited to only those of the previous chapter? The answer is no. Can't be limited to that. I mean, if it was just limited to that, wouldn't you think that the Word of God would have said that it is only these that compass about you? But these make up the heavenly host. What can they see? And what are they seeing? I want you to think about this with me. Listen, my dad was a unique individual. He was very unique. Dad never did whip me, I don't think, but one time in my life when I was a boy. And the reason was because I was probably the best kid in the world.
Good thing we're spread out.
Come on. Sometimes it takes forgiveness. You know. But can I tell you, he didn't whip me but one time. And can I tell you why? And this is, I'm about to tell you the truth. All he had to do was look. That's all he had to do. If I was in his presence, and he cut them lines, that's it. His hand didn't have fingers. They were oak trees that growed out of his hand. I was just a little boy one time sitting at Nottingham Baptist Church in front of my dad. I was cutting up in church. One flip from his finger and I was concussed. I'm not kidding you. There was a reverential fear of my dad. Okay? Later on in my relationship with my dad, he wasn't just my dad. He became my best friend. And during that time, I did everything that he said and more, not out of fear, but out of love. Out of respect. I wanted to do more than what he asked. You remember those days. If Dad would ask for something, there was no. It was not only a yes, it was a yes and may I do more, please. Because I wanted to please my dad. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Now I think about my dad in heaven now, and I wonder can he see? Is he a part of that company of a great cloud of witnesses? If you go to the strict interpretation of the narrative of this scripture, I have to say he is. If only one who has passed over is a part of that cloud of witnesses, then all who have passed over is a part of that great cloud of witnesses. What are they seeing exactly? I was talking to the Lord about that, and I thought, Lord, I don't want Dad to know about some things. Y'all hearing me? Lord, I don't want my grandfather to hear me say some things. And I began to pray and talk to God about that. Can I tell you something? Listen to this. Our Father in heaven sees us through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And in that place, no sin can enter. Mm-hmm. You hearing me?
Yeah.
Do you know how they see us? You know how your dad sees you? Covered in the blood of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Do you know how my dad sees me? Covered in the blood of the Lord Jesus. Do they see the consequences of what's happening on the earth? The answer is yes. Yes, they see those consequences. Because you see, the verse goes on. Listen closely to what it says. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Look at this next line up here. The distinction between weight and sin is made in this scripture. Did you know that not everything is a sin? But there are some things that are not sin, but that it's a weight. It hinders us in the running of the race. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Now I'm only talking to those who are really serious about your walk with God. But there's some that kind of haphazardly go through life with their walk with God. Yeah, man, God, we go to church and I read the verse of the day and I do, all that. But as far as a deep walk with a personal relationship with Christ, there's not many that have that. But if you're serious about that, then this is where this comes into play. There are some things that's a weight that's not a sin. It just merely hinders us in the running of the race. For example, watch this. How many of you believe that we are to congregate together in the house of God? You ought to go to church. Well, the Bible even says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, so much the more as you see the day approaching. How many think going to church is important? Can I tell you something? When you miss, it becomes a weight. You're hindered in your spiritual welfare. You say, oh, I'm strong enough to miss church. No, you're not. Ain't nobody. Hello? Nobody is. Do you know why I know that? Because the Bible said don't forsake it. There's significance to it. It will become a weight if you miss. Watch this. It will become a weight if you miss meditating on the Word of God daily. You'll become weighted down if you don't spend time in prayer daily. There is a reason why in the model prayer we're taught, give us this day our daily bread. You got to spend time with Him daily. Everybody say amen to that.
Amen.
So there is a distinction between weight and sin. I want to hurry up here, but listen to this. Then it says we must run the race with endurance. Now here's where we get back to. The context of this verse is around the great cloud of witnesses. And because we are compassed about with such a great encircled, if you will, is what that word compassed about means. Because we're encircled with a great cloud of witnesses from heaven, here's the purpose why that they are compassing about. They are cheering us on to run the race.
Yeah.
Y'all didn't hear that. See, there, right there. Should have shouted. You didn't shout. So I'm starting over again. Okay. Listen to this. Did you know they are our biggest cheerleaders?
Amen.
All of heaven is cheering for us to run this race. That's why the apostle says, run that you may receive the prize. The apostle Paul says in another place, this is a race that we run. Press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. Over and over again, this thing of life is like a race. And the entire host of heaven is cheering us on this morning, saying, that's it, boy. Dig down and run.
Amen.
Don't give up. Run it with endurance. Keep going. Keep going. Press on. That's what this great cloud of witnesses is all about. Did you know that even the angels of heaven is encamped around us right now, cheering us on? But even more so, all of those that you know that's already in glory and their race is run, they're saying, run, man, run. I honestly believe this with all my heart. My dad's in heaven. He said, preach, Jeff, preach. Boy, tell them. Papa's doing the same thing. Tell them, Jeff. Give them the word. Your forefathers that knew the Lord, they're up in heaven saying, boy, you go for it. Worship God. Worship God. Keep praying. On Tuesday, they're cheering you on. Boy, get in the word. Think about this passage. Really pray. Think deep. Make God your everything.
Amen.
They're your biggest cheerleaders.
Amen.
And I thought about this, boy, I tell you. Oh, what a reality this is. Listen to me. And I've got to close. I was hoping to get more. We'll get there next week. I just want to tell you this one. How many of us ever been to a track meet where you saw them, where there's four of them, they run and one will run.
Relay.
How many of you have seen that? You know they practice. You know what? One thing they practice, the passing of the baton.
Yeah.
They practice that over and over again. Makes them faster. They want that transition to be just right, where when they hand that baton, the next runner is at full speed, and he doesn't have to lose his stride. You notice that? Down through the ages, that's what's been going on. People's been passing the baton. Now I go back to the invasion of the spirit world, boy, into the natural world. I dreamed not too long ago about a guy named Fred Sexton. And the first time I ever dreamed about Fred Sexton, I'd never seen a picture of him. But he used to hold me up when I was a baby in Nottingham Baptist Church. This is what Dad and Mom used to tell me. He would hold me up as a baby in Nottingham Baptist Church in Pennsylvania. He was the pastor there, and he would say, he'd hold me up, and he'd say, this little boy right here is going to preach the gospel one of these days. When I get to heaven, I'm going to sit down and have a talk with that man. But let me tell you, listen, years later, and he died in a plane crash shortly after that. Him and his daughter, he had his own airplane. He'd fly around, and on a Sunday afternoon, we lived in Little Texas, Pennsylvania. And Fred Sexton was one of my dad's best friends. We was out. We saw the plane go over the front yard. We was out in the front yard. And it wasn't that afternoon that plane went down. Fred Sexton and his little daughter Mary went to heaven. Fred used to hold, and I didn't even see a picture of him, but I had a dream about it. And I dreamed about him coming into our house early, like 2 in the morning, and in the kitchen he was getting, wanting to make coffee. You think, well, that's a stupid dream. Well, I told Dad, I said, Dad, I dreamed about Fred Sexton. I knew it was Fred Sexton, but I've never seen him. And my Uncle Earl up in Pennsylvania had one of them old reel-to-reels. And he showed me a picture of him. It was exactly the man I dreamed of. And I told Dad, I said, Dad, I dreamed that he'd come in the house and he was making coffee. And Dad said he used to do that all the time. He said, we'd be in the bed sound asleep. He'd come through the door and he'd say, Doug, get up. We got to make some coffee. We got to pray. We got to get a hold of God. Was that an accident I dreamed at? No, no. That's a great cloud of witnesses.
Yeah.
Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Invasions of the spirit world into the natural world. I wish I had time to go deeper in that, but listen to what I'm saying here. I believe he passed the baton. You see that? And in them relay races, I'm closing right here. In them relay races, did you know they saved the fastest runners for the last leg? Did you know that? Listen to me. For such a time as this, God has put you on the last leg of the relay. That's why you're alive. Oh boy, I wish I had the faith of the Apostle Paul. Let me tell you, the Apostle Paul's in heaven cheering you on to run faster than he ever could for such a time as this. This is the final leg before the Lord returns. The baton's done been passed. We're running this race and all of heaven is cheering for us and saying, go on, boy, keep running, keep going for the cause of Christ.
Amen.
Our redemption is drawing nigh.
Amen.
The greatest time on the history of the earth for an invasion of the spirit world into the natural world, and you're living in it. How well are you running? That's the question. See what? You either believe what I've said or you don't. But if you do, it ought to change your life.
Amen.
It sure has me. I've had a hard week health-wise this week. Hard week. Sick. I'm learning that this growing old thing ain't all it's cracked up to be. I'll put it that way. You know, where you just heard everywhere. Just heard everywhere. I told Haley the other day, I said, I'm just tired of hurting. I don't know what to do. I mean, I'm just getting tired of hurting. Hey, listen to me. Watch this. Can I tell you that in the realm of the spirit, I'm healthier than I've ever been? And I've learned something. Not a lot on this earth matters. But everything in the spiritual realm, that's all that's going to last, and that's eternal. How well are you running? I can't run good in the body no more, but my spirit man's flying. Soaring. Doing things that only God could give us the capacity to do. You got to run well this race. All of heaven's paying attention. Did you hear what I said?
Yeah.
Let's pray. Father, bless our time and your word. Bless the Lord in all that's done. Hold your hand up if you want to run the race better than you're running right now. God, you see the hands. Lord, you see the hands. We pray for a supernatural invasion from the spirit world into the natural world. We pray, dear God, that right now, this morning, there would be an invasion of the Holy Spirit into this natural realm. And Lord Jesus, I pray in your holy name that we'll run well this race that's set before us. We'll give you praise for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen.